I'm Steve Potter, and a little later on Cityscape, we're going to get the scoop on Grumpy Cat, the viral superstar who will be partnering with St. Louis-based Ralston Purina. We'll have more on Grumpy Cat's endorsement deal in just a few minutes. That's important stuff. Right now, though, New York-based artist Rashid Johnson grew up in Chicago. His first major solo exhibition opened earlier today at Washington University's Mildred Lane Kemper Art Museum. Rashid Johnson, Message to Our Folks. That is the title of the exhibition. It runs through January 6th of next year, and we welcome the artist. Rashid, hello.
It's good to be here.
Also joining us, Meredith Malone. She's the assistant curator at the Kemper at Washington University. Meredith, good to see you again.
Hi.
So, Rashid, what things that I've read about your exhibition are things like exploring the black identity, the African-American experience. What does all that really mean?
Well, I would start by saying the exhibition does not fully explore the black experience exclusively. It's really just my art practice over the last 15 years. And through that time, there's been some exploration of conversations around black history.
Well, I'm wondering why I read that all the time about you then.
You know, I'm not exactly sure, but I think that people find it a little bit easier to put artists in a box in order to explain them more easily to others.
Yeah. Well, you know, I read you're often identified, you know, as African-American artist. I wonder if you're comfortable with that, or you probably just think of yourself as an artist.
I do think of myself as an artist.
Not necessarily, you know, an African-American artist.
Not necessarily, but, you know, I am a black artist, and I'm fine with that.
Meredith, do you have any insight into what I'm trying to get at?
Well, I just think with Rashid's work, a lot of his work is very personal, and he puts that out there. So it is about specifically, you know, your experience as, you know, as I happen
as
to be an African-American,
right,
you know, who grew up in Chicago. So I think that comes through in the work itself, but it's not necessarily something that you could you have to label his work as by a black artist or something. It's about your experience.
I think that's actually a bigger conversation, and I think it's something we could touch on here. But oftentimes, artists are labeled, you know, through categorizations that people mm-hmm. feel are more easily accessible for them to be able to deal with. I just happen to be an artist who's, you know, been in that situation. But I don't firmly feel that that's the only thing that's being explored in my project.
Well, I kind of have to laugh because I was the one that said it shouldn't be any big deal, and I've sort of made a big deal about it. So I don't quite understand what I'm talking about, I guess. Well, let's talk about your work then. How do you describe it? Well, first of all, your background really began in photography.
It did. I started in photography, but I was also really kind of invested and interested in film and sculpture and painting at the time. When I started school, I started in a photo program at Columbia College in Chicago. And I found that I was just really interested in what was happening with image making at the time. I thought that what was happening in contemporary art at the time, photography was a vehicle that seemed very, very appropriate to continue to explore some of the things and themes that I was interested in as an artist. As I've grown as an artist and as the art world has changed and as I've changed over the years, I've started to incorporate other mediums, and the exhibition that you'll see tonight, you'll get an opportunity to witness that evolution.
Things like painting, sculpture, and did you get into those things one at a time? Did they all sort of develop together with you?
I kind of just jumped in the pool. Some people refer to it as the post-medium condition, that artists don't necessarily have specific mediums that they're married to as much as maybe they did in times past. I just jumped in the pool. I started playing with film, video, sculpture, painting, almost all at the same time. And they've all kind of matured at different times for me, or my relationship to them has matured. So it's kind of one of those things where I'm not sure I can point to when I became interested in any, you know, particular medium in any specific time, but they've all kind of played together.
We're talking with artist Rashid Johnson. Meredith Malone from Washington University is here also from the Kemper. Meredith, as a observer, how would you describe Rashid's work or the experience of seeing his exhibition?
Well, I think when you come to the show, you're going to I think everybody who's seen it so far has really been blown away. Rashid works on a range of scales, but a lot of the work in this exhibition are, you know, really very, very large scale. So you're going to be really blown away when you walk into these spaces. And with a variety of work, too, in the show. We have some of his, you know, the work spans the last 15 years of his artistic production. So there really is this wide range from some of the early photography that we just talked about to some of the more recent works that are dealing with sort of large-scale sculpture.
And some of it looks like, I'm not going to describe it correctly, but like shelving almost, mm-hmm. where you're displaying things on a shelf.
Yeah, there's quite a few works on the show that incorporate shelving units that hold signifiers, different tools and materials that I've employed in the past and my work, including plants, shea butter, records, and books.
I'm curious about the shea butter thing.
Yeah, I actually came across shea butter when I was about 19. I'd come across it at different times earlier in life, but I didn't really know so much about what it was. But I was traveling through West Africa, and I happened to stumble upon a group of Ashanti tribesmen, and they were applying a tremendous amount of shea butter to their bodies, and I kept asking questions about why they were using it. And one of them told me that they used it as a shield. It was years later that I realized that he was saying that during hand-to-hand combat, they would lather their bodies with this kind of slick material in order to not be able to be grabbed. So that I thought was really interesting. It also has a healing quality. It's often, you know, used by people who've been burned. And now you find it almost in every Kale's product, you mm-hmm. know, in your local, you know, CVS even.
Hmm. I'm curious about the title of your exhibition, Rashid Johnson, Message to Our Folks. I had to notice that it didn't say Message to My Folks. So does this deal directly with your parents? Or when you say our, do you mean all of our parents?
Well, I don't think folks means parents in this particular reference. I think it means, you know, like the collective us, our folks, the people.
Oh, I see.
It's actually something that Brock says quite a bit, I've noticed, in the last few years. The album title comes from an album by a group called the Art Ensemble Chicago, which is an avant-garde jazz band that was prominent in the late 60s and early 70s, and even some remnants of it exist today. Some of the band members are some of the younger guys who played with the original members being Lester Bowie and a few other recognizable jazz names. So to get to the title, I guess, you know, it's a specific reference to an album that they made, I believe in the late 60s the album came out. But the idea of a message to our folks is kind of a reference to the collective us.
I see. Okay. So what is the message then? Do you have a particular message?
Well, I don't really choose to define any specific message in my body of work. I think that I'm touching on several different subjects, and the work gives you a lot of opportunities to explore things from critical theory, art history, you know, kind of critical race history, music history, as well as gesture, abstraction, film, installation. So all of those things are kind of paired together to build a conversation, or an opportunity to read a narrative, but that narrative is not necessarily delivered so graphically or specifically to you.
Well, Meredith, how does Rashid's work speak to you, and why was it something that you thought needed to come to the Kemper?
Well, I've been following Rashid's work for at least the last 4 or 5 years, so we really jumped at the chance to have, you know, this large display of his pieces as well. And I think just the way you described it right there, Rashid, too, is why his work is really so compelling, is because it does work on several of these levels. You know, it has definitely, he's engaging with the histories of abstraction, appropriation, installation art, but it also has this whole other layer where it's engaging with sort of the history of, you know, sort of questions of race, identity, which are all really, you know, hot in important topics that we want to engage with. So with any good contemporary art, it really does ask us to think about how these works help us understand our own lives and our own sense of self in this contemporary world.
Well, so folks doesn't refer to your folks. You've established that. But there is an interesting story about your folks. About growing up, I read something that you were talking about growing up in the 1970s, I guess, and Afrocentrism. And at some point, I guess your parents were into it, and then they weren't.
Yeah, don't age me. I was born.
I'm sorry.
I was born in the late 70s.
Right. I guess that refers to your parents, right? Yeah.
I grew up in the 80s, but I do talk about what I consider to be almost the third coming of Afrocentrism in that 80s period, and you see people kind of going back to the dashiki, even some people wearing afros, et cetera. At that time, my parents were very involved in, you know, some of the holidays that were being born. For instance, Kwanzaa. And I guess the story that I often tell is that we celebrated Kwanzaa until I was about 13 years old, at which time my parents just abandoned the holiday. Oh. And I've always said that it was similar to the feeling that a Jewish boy would potentially have if after his bar mitzvah, his parents told him that they no longer wanted to be Jews.
Well, so are you okay with that, or maybe relieved? I don't know.
You know, I found it to be fairly humorous, and I say that I was abandoned in that Afrocentric moment, but I think it's really been a tool that I've used in my work to kind of think about the evolution of cultural identity and how one begins to define themselves in this kind of cultural landscape. The idea of kind of a multi-conscious understanding of how you exist in particular in America as both a Black American and American. I think gender and sexuality can all be, you know, things that people would consider as far as understanding their kind of multiple identity, their, you know, kind of polyconsciousness, I think it would be a better way to describe it today. Hmm.
The Mildred Lane Kemper Art Museum presents Rasheed Johnson, Message to Our Folks. It opened today at the Kemper and will be on display through January 6th of 2014. And just briefly, finally, your last thought. What would you like people to go away with, do you think?
You know, I think I'm introducing several opportunities in an exhibition like this to, you know, go further down the tube of things that I'm kind of looking at. So basically, if you want to walk away with an opportunity to read the books that are already presented there, or to just look further into my own project.
All right. Well, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to Washington University's Kemper Art Museum. And we hope people will take the chance to see your exhibition anytime between now and the 6th of January. Meredith Malone is the assistant curator at the Kemper at WashU. Meredith, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Rasheed Johnson, welcome to St. Louis, and it was a pleasure meeting you.
It's good to be here.